Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Oi, 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 oi.
It's Bucky Crime Club.
Hello, folks. Hope you're all well, surviving the ills of the world as we totter towards the precipice in search of some kind of third act solution to our nefarious condition. For the time being, at least, I am still Jack Beaumont, aka Tony Blackburn's shit love child, aka the finesse pimp, coming to lie next to you on your deathbed, stroking your inner thigh with episode 4 of Crime Club. And what a journey it's been so far. We've had foreign jails, crackheads being chased with tuna cans, crackheads giving blowjobs, fellas getting wanked off by ladies in wheelchairs, all sorts. This week we've got two separate interviews. The first is a fairly quick one containing within it details of our first white collar crime of the series, fraud. You'll be listening to that very shortly indeed.
Oh, Crime Club. Jack Beaumont, you naughty boy.
Thanks for having me, by the way. We should mention that we are in your gaff, aren't we, Robbie?
We are, mate, yeah.
We won't give that exact location because of the content of what we're about to talk about. I suppose, sure. As far as I'm aware, you faked a doctor's note saying you were ill.
Yeah, basically, I got a bit bored of work in the sense that I was being overlooked for a couple of promotions and that kind of stuff, and I suggested a few things to them that was they could easily have made some money on them doing it, and it would have pleased everyone in the office and our team, and it got noted and said they're going to do it for a while and never kept happening, and passed up for a few different appraisals and stuff like that, and I just got a bit bored with the job really. And
we should mention this, obviously we're not going to give the company by name, but it's a big international company.
Yeah.
Right, so dissatisfaction at work, and then did you just think I'm going to fake a doctor's note and rinse them, or did you?
No, it kind of came about from basically taking, I think I must have just had a big long weekend one weekend, and had a couple of extra days off at the end of it, which I just tried signing off as being just sick. And then I think it came round to like the Wednesday, and I just really realised that I just didn't want to go back to work anymore and didn't like my job. So I thought, I'm just going to see how long it can go before I say anything. I mean, I've built up a pretty good reputation for not, you know, taking much time off, so my manager had been pretty lax with me. So then I was like, got to the end of the week, whatever, and I hadn't really had any emails or anything. And like, I hadn't really been checking the emails, but like, I'd been completely ignoring phone calls and that kind of stuff. And basically lasted about a week and a half before I buckled and sent an email back saying that, yeah, I've been a bit signed off with a stress-related ulcer in my stomach, because I thought it's basically one of the only things that they can't really prove.
Yeah.
And it's all to do with basically your psychological feelings and that. So
you did a bit of background research then?
I kind of just thought, I just had a little heard from things, and I thought, yeah, it's pretty...
What was their response? They seem to, I imagine, someone presents you with that, they buy it wholesale, really.
They had to ask by wholesale. They had to go, yeah, sure, fair enough, no problem. And I think you can take, like, over 2 weeks off before you need a doctor's note anyway. So I thought, sweet, I'll take another week off. And then it came round to kind of like doctor's note time, and I still wasn't coming in. And I was like, this is awesome, I'm actually loving it, because it was during the summer as well, so it's like, you know, best weather for it, and get out and enjoy yourself. It kind of like, I was feeling a little bit guilty, but...
So it gets to 2 weeks, when you're usually meant to hand in a sick note.
Yeah, exactly.
And did you hand one in then, or did you? I didn't, but then
HR chased me, and at that point I thought, okay. And then I basically just knocked one up, just did one on the word processor.
Was that absolutely straightforward to do?
pretty easy, yeah. Just grabbed the NHS logo, got my doctor's practice, doctor's name, wrote a pretty basic couple of lines, signed it off, fake signature, done. And luckily it was a signature from a doctor that was I knew was on his way out, as in like he was leaving, he was a temporary one. So basically, yeah, inside knowledge. And yeah, they never checked it. He's bought that and said, yeah, sure, no worries.
Cause so how long did you actually take off to get your full pay?
It was such a big company that they basically didn't do their research in terms of checking it off stuff. They would never believe that people would do fake notes and shit.
Yeah.
And so, I got away with 7 months of pay. It lasted from summer to winter.
Well, so you got paid. Right, so you got about 7 months of pay for doing no work. What were you doing? Getting on it?
I was having a few parties, out and about, celebrating with mates. Still had a fair bit of pay coming through the door, as you can tell. So,
Grime Club.
How many parties a week were you having at your peak?
I think it depends who it was about to keep up for me, to be honest. I mean, obviously, like, I was free during the week and stuff, and normally there'd be one or two mates that'd be free on a certain night, and then there'd be another couple of mates that'd be free on another night, so... Yeah, you could normally get like at least two or three weekday parties out of it.
What were the neighbours saying on that front?
Yeah, they weren't too happy. I think they suddenly noticed the difference in my hours, quite obviously, actually. I had one neighbour, especially the one over the road from me, literally just living in a block of flats, so it's like literally across the hallway. And we had a group of the guys around one night, and I don't remember, to be honest, I was pretty mashed. And she knocked on a door, I think, to tell us, this is what I've heard from my mates, but I vaguely remember bits of it. She knocked on the door to like tell us to keep quiet down, like, and I just started talking to her, and because everyone else is trying to stay away from the door to like not talk or anything, turns out I just basically closed the door, and then like the lads don't know where I am, like disappeared for a bit. And so they, you know, half an hour passes, and they're looking around, they start shouting my name out the window and looking around the whole thing, and they reckon, oh, it must be in the neighbour's house, isn't it? I mean, I keep knocking on the door, and at this point, I think I'm hearing a knocking, and I'm like, you know, those drunken stupors at the moments where you come to and you're like, ah, the fuck am I? Like, look, like you realise.
Yeah, I've had a few more times. Yeah.
And then basically, I realised I was just in my socks, and
well, no pants or nothing.
Well, yeah, no pants or nothing, and
so you woke up just wearing socks, yeah?
Yeah, just wearing socks, right, okay. in my neighbour's beds with her.
Fucking
and a can of strong bell on the side, and no keys, no phone, and a pile of clothes by the side of the bed. I pleaded with her to not answer the door for a bit. I think she might have had.
Why didn't you want your mates to know that you just shagged the neighbour?
I would say she must have been in her late 50s at that point, if not early 60s.
Your neighbour was about like late 50s.
Yeah, I think at the time I was late 20s, so.
So you're right, yeah. So yeah, your neighbour. Well, no. We've had worse on here, mate. Don't worry. But just to get things crystal clear, your neighbour complained about the noise of one of your midweek raves,
yeah.
One of your midweek parties, and you've gone round there and ended up fucking her.
Yeah.
Fair dues.
Yeah.
And you don't want your mates to find out.
No, exactly.
So you're asking her not to open the door because they're knocking on it now.
They're knocking on it. They're shouting out my name. They're pretty sure I'm in there. But then because she's not answering, they're starting to doubt whether or not I might be somewhere else. So they started walking out into the car park and started like shouting out my name, which is obviously a bad thing to do given that I've just got a noise complaint. And they're telling off people who are still at a party. But they finally come back to realise that it must be in that neighbour's house. She ends up fucking coming to the door and answering the door in a bra and pants, and goes, he's old enough to make a choice for himself and all this other stuff. And like,
she's not wrong.
It's true. But like, the problem was I had a mate's like a charity ball the next day. So I was literally meeting up with my entire friendship group the very next day.
When you just piped your 58-year-old neighbour.
Yeah, and so obviously it was talking to town and everyone just couldn't believe that it just happened the night before. Everyone's like asking me about it, so pretty embarrassing shit.
Well, you know what, I personally would commend that kind of behaviour. That's exactly the kind of behaviour that I think is...
Strengthening bonds between neighbourhood groups,
yeah, mate. Well, she ain't complaining anymore.
Shit, mate, no.
Grand club.
Well, that's the thing. If we can talk briefly about the morality of such, because that is fraud, isn't it? There's no mucking about. But you know, morally speaking, I don't think what you did was particularly bad. I've done worse.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I would have said, as I say, like the way that really justified it in my eyes is the way they're throwing around money, like clearly wasting several hundred thousand pounds here.
Yeah.
I don't give a crap if I rent you for some.
Yeah, that's nice of your logic. And if I'd ever had a proper job, I would probably have taken the same attitude.
Crime Club.
Hello there.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Quickly, we haven't got long. Please listen to the all-new Angelos and Barry podcast.
It's a funny one.
Oh, my God, it's hilarious. There's so much muck in it.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Robbie there. Thanks again to him. Top bloke. Next is a story involving violence at a wake. Insert jingle here.
Crime Club.
Hello, Martin. So, yeah, you've got a social crime that took place in rather bleak conditions, as I understand it.
Indeed, it actually happened at a wake. So just after a funeral of a beloved friend who had been suffering from cancer.
How old were you at the time?
I was probably around the age of 20.
Right, OK. And this was at the wake. So had it been a particularly heavy one?
So, yeah, so everyone there had been drinking, as you do at a wake, obviously, to get over those that had passed away. I was drunkenly and innocently chatting to someone who was rather attractive, and it's sad that I have to bring up that fact, but yeah, she was a very attractive woman, and obviously we're just getting to know each other. Things are highly emotional, so like, yeah, there was probably a bit more like, you know, like, oh, I feel sorry for you touching on the shoulder than there usually was in a normal conversation. And what had happened is, obviously, because this guy was a childhood friend, a lot of childhood friends were there as well, and because we knew each other at primary school, there was a lot of mums, a lot of dads, they all knew the kids as well. Basically, I was chatting to her for quite a while as well, and like, you know, the conversation was getting quite in depth, a lot of eye contact, etc. It was getting quite deep. So essentially what happens is when I'm chatting to her, like, one of the mums is weirdly looking over, like, almost somewhat jealously, I'd say.
Who was she in relation to the deceased?
She was the godmother of the deceased. And essentially she has her own son. She has her own son that I think, I'm gonna state here, she wanted to try and maybe gain more attraction with this attractive female I just happened to be talking to.
So she wanted her son to talk to the good-looking lady, right, as opposed to you, right?
That's my understanding of how the next part played out. So essentially, once I've, you know, obviously you're at a wake, so you're chatting to everyone. I move away from chatting to this rather attractive bird, and eventually it comes to me and her, and she just starts talking to me and going,
"You're the godmother."
Yeah, me and the godmother. Yeah. And she starts talking to me, stating, "Oh, you've chatted to her quite a lot." And I was like, "Yeah, you know, it's a wake, so what are you doing?" She went, "Well, that's quite funny, because I always thought you were gay." And I just thought, firstly, this isn't something I'd even experienced yet, so I didn't even know if I was at the time or not. But she kept shouting at me for a good 20 to 30 minutes.
She knew you because she was a mum at the primary school.
That's correct.
So she thought you were a gay child, essentially.
Maybe, like, there are admittedly memories where I used to shag a pillow with her son, like, not the same pillow, different pillows, you know, as 10-year-olds do.
I feel like we're getting off topic. From what I gather, things build up tension-wise between you and the godmother of the deceased.
So,
yes, yeah, right?
so bear in mind that she's then basically, it then elevates from, "You're a bit gay," to, "You're gay." start shouting it in my face for a good 10 to 20 minutes. And maybe, you know, that kind of like built up a bit of anger in me, because it's like, I'm frustrated. Why are you calling me this?
Well, yeah, understandably. I mean, if she's shouting "you're gay" at you at the wake of a dead 20-year-old
yes.
you both have deep connections with, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's quite bang
exactly.
out of order.
Yeah, it sounds very, very bang out of order. And so what I started to do was I chatted to her, kind of left it a bit, came back to it, and then eventually people started dancing because it was awake. So obviously all the conversation kind of died down and people started actually dancing to music, etc. And now this is where, you know, we were drunk, it gets a bit hazy.
Right.
So what happens is we're dancing next to each other, and essentially this woman who was shouting at me that I was gay, she is also quite large.
Yeah,
fairly very large woman.
Yep.
And essentially either like, you know, give her the good butt boogie kind of hit.
So if you're dancing and you're giving her like a bit of a hip thrust, yeah. Does that mean that you've forgotten the whole she's calling you gay, or maybe even trying to prove that you aren't? So what's going on there? Or is it just an accident?
It's just basically, well, I'm a very volatile dancer, so it's not really it's not necessarily that the hip thrust was the thing that caused it all. Like that is just my natural okay, motion, well, so I can't dictate whether I was in a in
so
a
you may or may not have given you may or may not have given her an intentional hip thrust whilst on the dance floor at the wake.
After that, essentially, she falls flat on the floor, and this woman weighs a good 16 stone as well, so you can imagine there's a good like good thunder. Now, from my memory of what happens next, essentially she falls on the floor and I had nothing to do with it. That was my impression. That's my memory. So I straight up point at her and just start laughing in her face because right. she's fallen over and, you know, she's fat. There's YouTube videos about this stuff. You know, it's
that's
comedy
quite
gold.
An, that's quite an extreme reaction, but given the fact she was rubbing you up throughout the previous bit of the wake, you can kind of defend that.
Rubbing me up Where with gay it, words.
Well, yeah, we're accusing you of being gay, sure.
Yes.
So you're laughing at her, she's fallen on the floor.
Well, firstly, I can't quite recall how she gets back up off the floor, but essentially what happens is she sees me laughing at her, she gets up, and then she tries to whack me in a full Iron Mike Tyson kind of way.
But she makes good connection.
She makes a fairly good connection. She makes a very good connection.
So you've been lamped by the godmother at the wake at this point.
Indeed. I come in and I'm literally punched. I'm open arms like, what the fuck's happened here? And then the husband comes in from behind her and just kind of like starts grabbing her, really holding her back. This is the godfather.
Yeah.
So he's absolutely holding her back. And, you know, in a typical hooligan fashion, she's then exerting more energy, trying to get past him as he's being held back. And I'm just stabbed there, standing there idly, just going, I cannot believe I've just been hit. So I'm very drunk now, and I'm literally going round to him and like, going, can you believe what this woman just did to me? This fat woman just did to me. And then suddenly it just comes across my mind that, like, I didn't hit them back. I need some form of retribution. So essentially what happens is I'm like, right, well, I'm not going to get her. She's already really angry. She's red raged in the corner. So I was like, I'm going to go after the dad. I'm going to go after the godfather. I was like, how dare his family unit attack me? I was like, if I can't hit anyone because it's awake, which I don't usually do, by the way, I must add.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought I'm going to emotionally like try and destroy someone. I'm going to make him cry. I'm going to make that man cry.
That's quite sadistic.
Yeah, I suppose it is in retrospect, but like it is at a wake, so I feel like a lot of usual judgment scenarios are out the window
on this one. And you have been aggrieved, even if it was potentially your fault that sent the big godmother to the floor. But that's hazy drunkenness. No one can determine whether that's
fact or
fiction.
Exactly.
So you've eyed up the godfather. You're thinking, I'm going to make him cry. How do you go about it?
So, well, obviously we have a lot of background, fortunately, as I was with his kid at primary school. So what I basically thought was, what did I used to do that could really like make this guy insecure? So I thought, he used to look after me a bit, and I grew up without a parent figure. So I thought going after him for being some form of fatherly figure in his life, some nice idyllic memory he assumably has.
So you went up to him and said what?
So I went up to him and went, you have deeply disappointed me. I always thought of you as a great father figure. But you've let me down, and you're a complete failure in that regard. Like, I used to really respect you, and that's all gone out the window. And then from that prompt moment, he literally he absorbed all of the words I had said and then collapsed on the floor and cried, presumably, again, because we're also at a wake.
Christ. Fucking hell, man. So did you feel that retribution upon him falling to the floor, or was it a sour victory?
Well, sadly, I wouldn't have called it sour whatsoever. I was actually quite happy with myself that I had now had the ability to make a grown man cry, which is quite a powerful thing just to be able to do out of nowhere.
It is, but you made a pissed grown man cry at a wake of a 20-year-old.
Yes, yeah, so
his godson's wake.
So in retrospect, you know, I made a grown man cry who had held back his wife from beating me up. So that was a sad point. Now I look back at it, but at the time it felt like justice had been served.
All right. Yeah, well, no, I'll take your point. You had been aggrieved. You did have some
some grievance to uphold and to, you know, seek vengeance for. And I get that. Does any part you regret your actions of that night? And do you think there's, I mean, playing devil's advocate here, do you think it's possible that you sent that big godmother tumbling with your hip thrust?
I mean, so given my brother did the same thing about 10 years ago, accidentally in primary school, I mean, it's seemingly what we do, push this woman over.
Oh, he pushed a woman over to the floor as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
whilst dancing or...?
As in just randomly, complete gorilla ambush.
So you've got no family clue. History in sending big lasses to the floor?
Yeah, so that was the same big lass as well. This big lass has clearly caused our family a bit of retribution.
Wait, so rewind. You and your brother have sent this big lass tumbling?
Yes.
Him in a primary school...
Yeah, him in a completely innocent regard.
You at a godson's wake?
Yes.
Okay. That is. I mean, I've got to try and paint two sides of the story here. You know, I'm not sure which side I'm leaning on. I trust that you are generally a decent bloke. But I suppose the jury's still out. The listeners will have to make their own mind up, I guess.
Crime Club.
So, did you ever see the godmother again after that?
Well, funnily enough, I actually did. I saw her on my main high street. I was in crutches, you see, because I'd just had knee surgery, so I was quite paralysed, so it was obviously very slow moving. Obviously, she's very slow moving, but less slow moving than I was. And so it just so happened that we were in the same coffee shop at Nero, and we were both going for the door. She was much further back in the room, though, so obviously it naturally would take her much more time if it was like an average speed. So she's going towards the door, and I'm also heading up to go towards the door, and I'm literally shuffling along, you can imagine, crutches going down, no weight whatsoever on the left knee. And she gets to the door at the same time, and it's obviously awkward because I really didn't want this to happen. And she basically says to me, "Oh, hi, nice to see you." And I could tell that she was somewhat of a dickhead as well, because she was very... how should I put this?
Was she awkward about it?
Yeah, she was very awkward. She looked very sheepish to me.
I think you would be if you tried to lamp someone at your godson's wake. Yeah. Equally as you would be if you'd toppled a godmother.
Exactly.
So what happened? So she said, "Oh, hi, nice to see you."
She was like, and basically she tried to go for the usual small talk routine. And I actually went, "Look, from what happened last time we met, I'm kind of sorry for how events unfolded." And she was like, "Yeah, let's forget about it." And then I haven't seen her since, but things are positive, I think.
Oh, that's good. And what about the godfather?
Never saw him again.
Crime Club.
Finally, what was the general reaction of the other people at the wake, specifically the parents of the deceased?
To be frank with you, I was swiftly escorted home after the male crying incident, so I wouldn't actually know.
You were escorted home after the male crying incident and not the toppling the godmother?
Yeah, so once the female had been toppled, that was kind of, I think, when the wake was kind of winding down. Everyone had realised maybe everyone had had a bit too much. And then what had happened was I made the grandfather cry, and then I was just given a ride home.
Fair dues. And did you ever speak to the girl you were chatting to, the pretty lady?
No. Not that that was the idea, though.
And I'm just thinking, because obviously you're quite drunk, it's all a bit hazy. Was it possible that it was just you and the godmother on the dance floor and you sent her tumbling? There was no one else there?
I mean, I don't remember anyone else being there. But it felt like there was other people there.
Have you got anything else that you would like to add to that?
R.I.P.
Grime Club.
So, there you go. It's a tough one, really, to know what to think about that story. First and foremost, you've got to work out whether you think it was Martin's errant hip thrust that caused the godmother to fall on her fat homophobic arse. He himself is unsure, but is the first to admit that he dances in a volatile way. The neutral has to suspect that he sent the godmother to the floor and then proceed to laugh in her face. The question is, I suppose, is that worthy of a punch to the face? Depends on your moral compass. I'd say, given that she was loudly declaring him a homosexual previous to that, she doesn't really have the right to punch. But then, does Martin have the right to make her husband cry in what can only be described as a sadistic and manipulative bid for revenge? No, he doesn't. In fact, no one has the right to do anything they did in this flowchart of shit behaviour. Seven wrongs don't make a right, but they do make a story worthy of Crime Club. Thanks again to Martin. I hope you enjoyed what was a fairly weird episode 4 of Crime Club. Well, then it always is, I suppose. Crime Club does not condone volatile dancing, emotional abuse, fraud, or shagging your elderly neighbour. But even if it did, what in the name of Doc Cotton's dead dog's dick are you going to do about it? Well, if you want to let me know exactly what you do about it, in the name suggested by me there just then, or in your own name, then email crimeclubpodcast@gmail.com or tweet at crimeclubpod. Maybe you're Robbie's neighbour and would like to comment on his performance in the sack. Maybe you're the attractive girl Martin was talking to at the beginning of the wake. Or better still, the godmother or godfather. We'd love to hear your version of events. Until then, listen to more
Crime Club.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.